I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for Monday, April 29th, 2019, with Scott and Brian. Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Boop Show. Like I said, it's The Boop Show. Brian Dunaway's over there. I'm Scott Johnson over here. And, oh, you're dancing. I like it.
Oh, hi, Scott. I missed you last week.
Yeah, I missed you too, man. It was weird. It was a weird week. Went to Vegas from Thursday until last night and had a blast. It was very fun. Lots of people saying, oh, I love The Boop Show. Keep that going. Zippity-doo-dah. Yeah. A lot of people going, yeah, that Brian Dunaway, he's a hoot, that guy. And they were all
good. I think you're a hoot too. Hey, zippity doo dah. What happened there? Was like a lot. Was there like a Song of the South reunion down there or something?
No, not quite. Oh, is that what that's from? I didn't realize that. That's what that's from.
No, you're. I'm wrong. That's wrong. It's zippity doo dah. That's from Mary Poppins, isn't it?
My what a wonderful day.
Wonderful day.
Slipping in monkeys.
I knew it was a Disney thing.
Yeah, it's something like that. Well, it's.
Is there a Mary Poppins game? I'd play that.
Would you?
Yeah, little you know, you gotta pop up the umbrella.
I don't know if I would play
kids,
it.
Little sim, little Mary Poppins sim. I'd play that.
I might play it. Like, you could talk me into it. What would you do in that game? What would be the, what's the genre? What do you do? Harry Potter style or what? What are you doing?
That's a good question. I think Harry Potter style. I would Lego Mary Poppins. That'd be great.
Ooh, okay. There you go. They do those already. They make the Lego games. They just make one of the Harry Potter universe or the Mary Poppins universe. Is that called the Mary Poppins universe or is it called the the May Pop universe? May Pop?
Right. Yeah. It's a good question. I'm not sure now. I'm getting confused. The chat room is saying it is Song of the South that Zippity Doo Dah is from.
Is
that what I was singing?
Right, the Briar Rabbit stuff and all that. Because they kept all the nice stuff out of there, and they still use it at Disney. But they don't let the movie happen anymore, for obvious reasons. If you've never seen it, good luck.
Maybe they'll add that to the Disney Plus this fall.
Maybe they will.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. We're back at it though. Thank you guys for your patience. We were gone last week for totally unrelated internet issues. Well, I can tell you what happened. It was really frustrating, but it hosed this show and something else later that day. What else I have that night? Anyway, stuff just got hosed because we have a lot of new construction out here, a fast-growing part of the city, lots of new homes, lots of stuff going up. And as a result, I don't know, about three blocks that direction, somebody cut a fiber line that fed both the major ISPs in the area and took it down. So that was a good time. And
jerks, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like something Robotnik would do from Sonic.
It does, with his big ship.
Right? Have you seen the it's going on Twitter?
What
Jim Carrey as Robotnik for the Sonic movie.
Shut up!
Yeah, check out Twitter right now. There's it's trending right now. Sonic movie.
Nick.
Sneak peek taste of Jim Carrey as Dr. Eggman.
Oh, shut up. This Eggman. Cannot be.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, look at that.
I think he looks amazing for that. That's a good look for him.
Okay, Sonic up till now has looked terrible. Right?
Yeah.
It's all furry and weird muscles and it's not cool.
Right.
This I'm down with. Okay, all right. You got me here, dude. I was going into this expecting garbage. This is actually not bad. I mean, I still have kind of the opinion that you don't want to make a Sonic movie in the first place. Okay. I think it's a dumb idea to start with. But if you're going to do it this way. Here, chat, I'll show you what this looks like.
Now, is this going to be head to head against Detective Pikachu? Because we're going to have a couple of really weird CGI furry kind of creatures going on.
I don't think they're releasing at the same time.
I don't think so.
So I think there's some space between them, but there you go. Jim Carrey in the. Are we sure that's correct? Or is that just a fake? Some say it's a fake.
Is it a fake out? I don't know. If it's a fake out, it's a good one because it does kind of look like him from Me, Myself, and not Me, Myself, and Irene. Is it the one? Maybe it is Me, Myself, and Irene. The one where he's his wife leaves him. He's the cop. What is that one?
Me, Myself, and Oh, no. Someone just put up a real photo. Okay, that one was good. This one is bad. Here, I'll put it in Discord, and you can be embarrassed by it as well. That's what it looks like. That's no good.
I like that.
It's not as good as the other one.
I agree. The
not
other cut is
nearly
better,
as
but
good.
But I'm still enjoying that.
All right. We'll see. I don't want to. You know what? I don't want to judge it.
You got such dead eyes. I love it.
I don't want to judge it because it might be great. That Detective Pikachu thing has me interested, and it shouldn't. It should be like the least thing I'd care about, but somehow I want to see it. So this stuff could be great, and that's fine. And let's see. But the fake one's better. I agree with the chat room. Fake one better. Now, if you're just listening to the podcast version of this, we had a couple of photos there, and because you're not here live, you have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Right.
So I'm going to move on and talk about a video game I played right before my trip, because I've only been home like 12 hours. I have not had time to play Jack. Well, more than that. I got home last night at about... Oh, no. It's
you
been
got
about,
to play I Don't Know Jack. That's a weird thing to play right after Vegas.
I've been home for 11 hours is all. Is that right? That can't be right. I'm sorry.
So
21 hours I've been home.
So did you get any, one-armed bandit time in while you were down in Vegas, or was it that just...
I don't,
purely business.
I don't gamble. Ibbit does.
That's
though.
Not gambling. You're definitely going
to
lose.
Well, yeah, but I don't like even close to gamble. Like I'm completely I just don't do it. And it's not because I have no judgment about gambling. Gamble all you want. I could really care less. I think it's because I'm a gamer and part of me wants to just put money in things where I just have skills to
That's
play.
That's how
in.
I feel.
And not luck. I don't want to play luck machines. I want to play arcade machines. I don't want to sit at a card table and play a thing where the house has a huge advantage. I want to play head-to-head freaking war with a friend of mine. Like, I'm just, I'm not a game of chance kind of guy.
I think that's why I'm with you. I'm not very good at any of the card games, especially if it looks like it's going to be like some kind of, they're... Is that guy dealing from the bottom of the deck? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't trust that. And I don't trust like roulette wheels or any of that kind of stuff. But I do like to play, even though I don't see very many of them in Vegas. I like playing the coin drops, the slide things. You drop the little coins in there. You got some skill there. You have to kind of aim it just right and get it in there. And whoo.
Yeah. I like that too, because it just feels like you're always on the verge of making a lot of quarters. Yeah.
And I never walk away going, oh, I just wasted a bunch of money. I always go away, that was fun.
Didn't quite push the thing off. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't bump it hard enough.
Well, let me talk to you about a financial thing a little bit. This first game I played is called Rise of Industry. Ooh. Rise of Industry. Now, here on the show, as people are probably aware, the Boop Show, we cover a lot of smaller sort of indie efforts. Occasionally a bigger, title will come in here or there. But we like to talk about smaller stuff, things that kind of miss people's radar. Although... if you're a strategy fan, this thing is quite popular right now, and exactly what this game is. But originally, I believe, kickstarted. Not 100% sure on that. But it's on Steam. Has enjoyed a healthy place in the top 10 for a while. Continues to be there. I should say, for full disclosure, I was sent a code of this game.
Code!
And it's... City Builders, that's nothing new. I like them. I talk about them on the show a lot. Different kinds of city builders. I think I talked about Dawn of Man the other day. Or the other episode. Here's another chance to talk about one of these. And in fact, what's funny is I meant to be playing Tropico. But instead, this came in and I went, I should check this out. So now I'm playing this city builder. But Rise of Industry is different. The entire goal and purpose of Rise of Industry is to make tons of money. So it's less about where you put your houses and are the people happy and do you have the firemen up the road and the police, this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Those things exist, but the game's focus is not just let's have a healthy city. It's let's maximize profits.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, even the pictures are like dirty smokestacks. It's like there's nothing beautiful or organic about this. It literally looks like a tool video, right?
A little bit,
a little industrial there.
Depends on where you're at in the game. Also, this particular playthrough I'm looking at on this video is super super zoomed out, but if you go in nice and tight,
you can see the overworked children workers.
Yep, you can see kids like, mom, help, I'm dying. But it is very much a city builder again, focused almost entirely on profitability. And so your goal is to like, all right, I got a factory here, a farm there. I've got pollution standards in the community that if I exceed them, I might make a little more profit in the short term, but they're going to fine me later. Like a lot of little things like that. And it's all that sort of stuff. So you're trying to trade and work your way up to being just like the most billionaire dude ever and owning everything and monopolizing everything. And I like it. I'm going to say, though, this is going to be somebody's favorite thing. I don't know who it is yet. Somebody out there is going to play this and go, oh, my gosh, they made a game for me. I can't believe this. This is amazing. I'm not really a numbers guy. I find them. I think numbers are important and all around us, but I think they're boring. And so I don't think this game is boring. I think there's enough here for even just City Builder fans in general. I love the look of it. I'm a huge fan of the interface and the look. I think it's beautiful. But I'm
with you. This looks like it looks very dry, which is fine. And it's really gonna hit some people. But I think they should have went with a maniacal kind of, like a Mr. Burns kind of, you know, just evil. Right. Almost just evil.
Well, there's a little bit of that thematically in the intro and stuff.
Right.
But they don't really lean into it. In fact, it's funny. The soundtrack is very reminiscent of that 2012 or 2013 SimCity reboot that was so disappointing but had that amazing soundtrack. It's a lot like that. So they're clearly, you know, poking into that a little bit, sort of like a Art Nouveau 1950s kind of vibe to the music. But it's interesting. It's not, again, it's meant to be, am I making cash money? Am I expanding? Did I change, you know, when things got weird and we ran out of trees, did I change the industry to be something else so that I don't lose a bunch of money? Like, it's just I wouldn't call it a financial sim as much as it is. It's still a city sim, but the goal is always financially related or financially motivated. And it's just less interesting to me than, say, like Tropico, where Tropico is that, but it's also socioeconomic growth. It's also you're a dictator.
And dictator.
Yeah, and the kind of dictator. Always eat your dictators. What kind of dictator do I want to be? I want to be good to my people, bad to my... Like, there's a lot of other nuance to those games where their focus isn't so narrow.
Don't
want to
be a much-beloved dictator, or do I want to... Yeah, this looks very... it's very industrial. I like it. But I'm with you. It might not be our cup of tea, especially being served from the developer, the Dapper Penguin Studios, which I like. I like that name. It conjures up some really good imagery. I dig that.
Yeah.
They got a demo. I might try that.
Oh, you should try the demo. You should give it a shot, too, I think.
And if not, $20-$25 on
it's reasonable.
Steam right now.
It's reasonable, especially if you're, again, if you are really into this aspect of these kinds of games, and most city builders have some financial aspect to them, it is very much focused on that. It's almost like they said, hey, that one part that's sort of just one-fifth of these normal games, what if that was the whole game? And that's kind of what they've done. The low poly count sort of treatment and the cool building styles and stuff, like visually and auditorially and just sort of the whole presentation, it's a beautiful little game and totally, totally worth your time, especially if you're into that financial stuff. So that's my first game of the week and a tentative recommendation. It's like, I recommend it, but those are the caveats. If you don't like managing a blustering business and the whole thing's about trade and percentages and what products to make and when to make them. Don't make sure you don't make them this time of the year or else you're screwed or whatever. If that's your thing, you're going to love it. If you don't like that stuff, might steer clear of this one.
It's sitting at a very positive rating right now on Steam.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah, people like it. I like it. The people that this is for, this is absolutely delivering the promise. There's no question. So it's not, this isn't an issue of like, this is an issue of whether this is a well-made game. This is an issue of whether or not you like that subgenre or not.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing like 40 plus hours in a lot of these reviews. Yeah. So, I mean, people really putting in the time, which is typical of a city builder because it takes a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of investment.
And I've been doing that in, that Anno game I keep talking about, which I'll mention again a little bit later. Brian, let's talk about Manuel Samuel.
Oh, we're going to talk about Mr. Emmanuel Samuel. This game I picked up on the Xbox Game Pass. Mm-hmm. It was free to me since I am a subscriber. I had not heard anything about this, which is funny because everybody else around me, when I said, yeah, I'm playing Emmanuel Samuel, it's like, oh, I love that game. And my son, actually, Ethan, my youngest, he's 17. He came over and he literally took the controllers out of my hand so that he could play. He says, I watched a million videos on this and I never got a chance to play and I want to play it. So he snacked it from my hands. Mm. You can get this on Steam right now for like $10 too, which is super cheap because this is a lot of fun. It's mostly story driven, but do you remember QWOP? Do you remember trying to...
I remember QWOP. Oh, yes.
You remember trying to manually make your guy run a race there with the QWOPs? Well, same idea with mechanic-wise. You're trying to... you have to control everything about your character manually. And I'm playing this on the Xbox 360, so it's using a controller, so there's only so many manual things you can do. But one of the things that's very important is you have to blink. Mm. You don't realize how often you have to blink because if your character, Samuel, who, by the way, is a rich guy. He's a rich guy. He's actually a son of a rich guy. Son of a rich guy.
Son of a rich.
And, yep. Son of a rich guy. And him and his girlfriend break up and he ends up getting killed and going straight to hell where death meets him and makes a deal with him.
Hold on. Did the girl kill him? The girl did it?
I can't say. It's a story.
Oh.
All right. Man. So let's just say he dies. I don't give anything away. And he goes to HE Double Hockey Sticks.
I can't tell if I like or hate this art style, but go ahead.
Don't you hate it and love it all at the same time? It really reminds me of the older Flash animation because everything is, you know, it's like really the pin the tail on the donkey kind of arms and legs where they kind of just, you know, flail about like that, like ragdollish. But I love the audio and the commentary that you get from Death, the Grim Reaper, because he is this skater dude, essentially, and he is always in the background of your life of trying to navigate. Now that you've been returned to Earth, you've been returned to the living, but you have to do everything manually for 24 hours. That was the deal you made with Mr. Death. And
if
so
your name
you
wasn't
to,
Samuel, what would it have been? It would have been, let's right. see. What if your name was Mike?
Automatic Freddy.
Right. Doesn't rhyme at all.
Doesn't rhyme at all. What do you want from me? Automatic Jack. How about that? Automatic Jack.
Automatic
I like that.
Automatic Jack. There you go.
Auto Jack. Yeah. So you have to do things like you have to blink. Mm-hmm. If you don't, the screen starts turning hazy and then turns white where you can't see the objective you're trying to get to. You have to occasionally your back will snap and you'll like flop over and you can't walk when you're like that. So you have to sit, you have to stand back up and then you have to function each leg. You have to like go left and then right with the triggers on your controller for me. And you have to make him go walk, 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 walk. And if you accidentally hit the trigger, like on both on the same side, he'll do a split and you'll fall down. And you can't get up. And you have to make him get up again. And this, but everything is controlled manually.
Okay.
And there's also a breathing mechanic. Certain parts of the game, you also have to breathe. So you're trying to walk, breathe, and blink your eyes. And the stakes even get even more intense. Because there's certain parts where you end up trying to save the world, which of course makes absolute sense, right? Mm-hmm. So you gotta save the world, or you might be fighting the devil somewhere in this game.
Oh my gosh, you got hit by a car called Feces Happens. That's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, Feces is such a there's so many things. I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping all around because it's been like about a week since I played this because we was going to talk about this last week.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
yes, Death is constantly saying. Holy shit, but he's saying holy feces. Mm. So everything is feces this, feces that. And at first I didn't like it, but then I started thinking it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
The delivery of it was very good.
Yeah.
And he's like, Death is constantly like all in your face and talking like this and holy feces. But he's always giving you instructions. Like there's one part where you have to drive a car and you have to control. It's a stick, of course. It's going to be a manual. Of course it is.
Yeah.
And you have to be, you have to, while he's sitting next to you, he's talking to you, telling all you this backstory, the Grim Reaper is, and then he'll occasionally tell you, left, because there's like, there is like old people walking out with walkers in front of you, and you have to like swerve to not hit them. If you hit them, then your car goes back down to zero, and it takes forever to get through that stage. You don't really get penalized other than things taking longer.
Oh, it would have been Automatic Albert, by the way, would be the name for
Automatic Albert.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it. Yeah. So this is Manual Samuel instead, because everything is manual. Mm. And you're a spoiled rich kid, and you have to go to your dad's shop and pretend like everything is normal. You have to go about your day as though it was normal. You'll also run into some other characters from Hades. You run into war and famine. And you have to do certain tasks for them as you plod through manually in your 24-hour quest to get back. I don't want to give away too many story spoilers, but the story is silly but fun.
Hey,
and I really like
silly but fun.
Silly but fun. This is developer is Perfectly Paranormal. This game's been out since probably about 2016, I think. So it's nothing. It's not brand new or anything, but it was due to me because they put it on Game Pass and it was free for me with my subscription to that service on Xbox.
I have a very vague memory of the name of it, but I couldn't remember if I'd played it. Now I know I haven't played it, but I do remember.
Oh,
the name.
You should definitely play it. Okay. There's hours of fun to be had.
And Satan's
holy
pretty cool.
Feces.
How's Satan? Is he cool? Do we have a cool Satan?
No, Satan's not cool. Satan was the reason why I had to freaking stop playing because I couldn't get past it.
Oh.
For some reason, I don't know if it's the, I don't know if it was the port to Xbox, but I had pretty good success with controlling Manuel Samuel. But there's one point where it seems like my timing is off, and I'm not sure where that lag is coming from. If it's because of the port, if the game was designed that way. But I've had some frustrations with either controller lag or something since on certain games, especially certain ports. They're usually like elsewhere and then make its way over to.
That is weird. That shouldn't be a thing. That's really weird.
Well, that's what I think, too. And I'm like, and I got very frustrated because I spent like probably a good 45 minutes trying to pull off a move to smack Satan just once. Just so he could say, you know, all that for a drop of blood. But I couldn't do it. Mm. And so eventually I did get him like once or twice. And but that only like took just a little piece off his health bar. And I'm like, this took me like 45 minutes to do. It's going to take me freaking 3 hours to kill this guy.
Yeah. Well,
but
and you got to do it manually. All right. Well, check that one
Manuel
out on Game Pass.
Samuel.
Available now. My next game is a game called Forager, and it's for the PC. Now, what I like about Forager is it's a very simple game. There's not a lot going on here that's super complicated, but it was made by this dude. One dude made it. A single dude. I always am impressed with that, so I often will play an indie game. If one guy made it, that impresses me. I want to see what he's up to. And in this game, you forage because it's called Forager. You're this little ghost looking white character. I don't know what to compare him to, but this adorable little dude. And you create a game and you start chopping trees and axe picking rocks and picking fruit.
Oh, he looks like a marshmallow.
A little bit, kind of a little marshmallow man. And your goal is to build a furnace. First thing you want to build is a furnace. So you got to get some quick parts to do that. And it's just on this little island, almost like a big puzzle piece. And on that island, you chop the trees or you bang on these rocks till they explode. And then you get all the pieces of it. And then there's, like I said, fruit trees, which you can use to health up because you have basically you lose stamina over time and you need fruit to get you back on track. And you level up during this process. Also,
just like my intestines.
Exactly. Now, if it seems like you've chopped everything down and mined everything that's possible, you'll notice that that's not actually true because new stuff will spawn on the island. And like just now in this video, I don't know if anyone saw that, but the little fruit tree spawned as soon as I cut the tree down. So there's like a minimum amount of resources that'll always be here, but they're not always the same ones. So if your goal or one of your quests is to build iron for something, then you want to get the stones that have little iron shards sticking out of it. They're blue for some reason. And then when you go get all those iron bits, maybe something else spawns, sometimes gold, sometimes other island iron, sometimes it's just stone, or a tree will spawn there, whatever.
Dude, stone.
But you just kind of have, use a controller or a keyboard and mouse, but you just, I have this on PC, but you just kind of go around the island and do your schmoo, and then eventually you're going to have enough parts to build, items you might need. Like a furnace to then start smelting things. So you build a furnace and you plop it down, and now you get a furnace. Kind of Minecraft style.
He who
style.
Smelt it, dealt it. Is that what we're hearing?
He who dealt it, smelt it in this case. Mm. So you use the thing to cook up whatever you need and craft what you need. And there's other crafting devices and then materials and then combinations of those materials. More unlocks as the higher level you get, and you level or get experience every time you chop something down or do anything, you get XP for it.
What happens if you stick the forager in a microwave?
It pops, or he melts and turns brown. Right.
No, it gets really big at first, right?
Oh,
that's
right.
What happens in the microwave.
Like a peep.
Yeah.
He's like a peep in there. Never put a peep in the microwave. Just don't do it.
Or always put a peep in the microwave.
Or never buy a peep ever. Because peeps are gross.
They're so good, Forager. This is published by Humble Bundle, so you probably, if you're a monthly subscriber, you probably can get this for free.
Probably already
Let
get
me
it.
See.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Hop Frog is the developer. I'm not familiar with anything else they've done. Just came out on the 18th.
Yeah, man, it's pretty new.
Yeah,
it has a skill system as well, and they do things like improve the foraging rate, or how quickly trees get chopped down, or how much yield is in the trees. Like a lot of little upgrades and things, and you can spend those points. As best I can tell, you can kind of get everything eventually, but there's areas of focus, so you can kind of min-max if you want to and figure out your best stuff. Now, I've not gotten far enough to know how to expand to another island or add another chunk of land. I think you just outright pay for it when you have enough gold or currency from making all these things. But it's just got this fun little loop. I came away impressed with it, even though it's just real simple and goofy looking. I like it. It's fun
very positive
thing.
So far. You're not the only one. You played two very positive games this past week,
yeah.
Or the week before last.
Yeah, I think this one's real good. I'm looking forward to playing more of it because it's a little bit of a zen game. You just kind of lose yourself in it and don't think too much.
Oh my goodness, I thought the last game had a lot of people who put hours in, but these people are, you know, in the 60-hour range these reviews. So
yeah,
it's got a good bit of replayability, if not some depth. Looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'll pick that up myself.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's called Forager for the PC. That one was also a code sent to me, but it was a Steam code, so you can actually get it on Steam if you'd like. Humble Bundle, of course, gives you Steam
$20.
Codes. Yeah, $20 game. I love supporting small developers. So this is the kind of game I would probably gift to a friend or something, since I didn't have to pay for the key. But it's real, real good. And then I just wanted to at least make a mention. I planned to, and still was last week before I left, playing Anno 1800. That's a city-building game that is really speaking to me. It's all the things I said that I don't like about Rise of Industry or about, you know, financially driven city builders. This has those aspects, but they're not the driving aspect. It has everything else, happy households and, you know, tree sustainability and reforestation, so you can cut those trees down and use those. And like, I love the setting. It's set in a weird old time in the year 1800, so everything's just a little bit weird. There are no cars. I guess there's some cars. Are there cars? When did cars show up? 1810?
1810? Good Lord, only if you were driving the DeLorean.
When was the first... Hold on. First car release.
First car. I think the early late 1800s, probably 1890, maybe might have seen something. They didn't go into mass production until, I think, around the teens.
1908 was the very first.
Now, is that a production car, or was that because I think there's some prototype cars out before then, not being mass produced.
It says here October 1st, 1908, the first production Model T Ford completed at the company's Piquette Avenue plant in Detroit. So
Detroit.
So yeah, you're probably right. There were probably prototypes before that.
Yeah, my stepdad used to have a whole bunch of old cars, and we'd take those out about every couple of weeks just to keep them running, keep them going.
Yeah.
It was always fun because they weren't fast.
No.
Mostly rode in like the T model, and it was always fun to ride around and people like going around just like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
move your horse and buggy, old man.
Every other week or every 2 weeks, or maybe it's once a month, I forget. But here in this area I live in, they have a big car show that shows up on the main street thing, and they just bring all these classic cars and rev their engines, and everyone touches themselves and then goes home. Brian, tell me about Bossguard.
Bossguard. Okay, so Sand Sailor Studios, the developer of this, sent me a code for Bossguard. It just came out on the 18th, and it is. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to just play a boss level in a game?
Like over and over, because just doing boss levels?
Just over and over a boss level.
Isn't that basically one of the Dark Souls? I mean, isn't Dark Souls that? Like, everything's like a boss fight, kind of?
Kind of, but this is more, it's more simplified. This is controller. So I can play either as one of six Vikings, and the Vikings are very loose in idea because they're thematically based on different countries that really didn't have Vikings, from my understanding. Like, there's an American Viking, and there's, the Vikings aren't the fun part of this game. The Vikings are okay. It's a little confusing when you get into the Vikings. There's six of them. They're kind of small on the screen because it's just one stage. It's just one platform where you're fighting at. The fun part is being the boss. So you can play as the boss and just lay waste as you constantly throw out these special moves just to destroy Vikings here and Vikings there. They got ranged Vikings. They've got melee Vikings. They've got annoying Vikings. Come here, me, a stupid annoying Viking.
It's like a raid in World of Warcraft, but you're the boss.
Exactly. That is a very good way to describe it. I love the art style too. It is very modern. Has a lot of even though it feels like there's not necessarily a lot of pixels, is all very well colored, and just there's not like a lot of hard lines or anything. It's just it just looks really good, and the lighting and the coloring is just beautiful. And I had the most fun playing as the boss, and like some of the bosses are really weird kind of stuff that you would play. Like, it, one boss is a giant piece of toast with one eye, and one of his special moves is to flatten everybody with his flat face, and he just, like, the Vikings get close, and he builds up his power by attacking, and when it gets to a certain point, he can use his special ability, which is to flapjack all the Vikings to death. To death, Scott.
So wait a minute. Are you always the Vikings, or are you always the boss?
You can choose.
And is this a multiplayer game, but you can play on your own, or what?
Correct. So if you play on your own, everything else, all the other Vikings are controlled AI as well as the boss. Or if you play local co-op on the couch, which is also a great way to do it. And the only way I really found any way to really play with anybody, because you can create your own online private session, but there was really nobody else I could play with when I first started playing this game. Nobody was there. Anybody home? Nope, just me.
Nobody
so
here.
I played a lot against the AI. What's that now?
I said nobody here. So how is the AI? Are they smart? Are they pretty, adept at
it's
your
pretty,
moves?
It's a very small area to fight in. So you're going to be making a lot of contact, and so you kind of have to find each boss has his weakness. So in that way, yes, it's smart. I never felt like I had a boss figured out, where I could just sit and cheat, like I couldn't sit in a little corner and go pew, 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 pew until the boss died. I always had to I had to keep moving, which is what you want, because it's a very fast paced, fast action game. Like I said, the one thing that I had trouble with the Vikings though, in Boss Guard was the fact that my character was so small on the screen. I've got like a 55-inch TV, and I was sitting fairly close, but even then, my characters, relatively speaking, are pretty small, because you're fitting, six Vikings and a boss all on one screen. So it's very much like a WoW raid in that manner. It's like, where am I at? Where am I at? There I am.
This is a Xbox title.
This I played on the Xbox, but it is, I played this on the PC. I don't think this is on the Xbox.
All right.
No, I got this early access code on the PC. So far, it's receiving pretty positive reviews, and I think they've got a way to go still. Now, I enjoyed what I saw, but I would like to see more. I would like to have a more satisfactory experience playing the Vikings, and I don't know how they're going to fix that, but maybe have fewer, maybe even go down to four. I think I would have more fun if there was only four Vikings.
Interesting.
I feel like I could manage that way.
Maybe I'm confused. When you're playing the Vikings, are you playing just one Viking or are you playing all the Vikings?
You're playing one Viking and the others are AI.
Okay. So you never, and you can't switch between them, right? Like you're stuck with the one you got.
Right. Well, yeah, during that round. Okay. Until, you know, and you can die multiple times, you come back, and you also can build up special abilities. Different Vikings have different abilities to attack. And it's a 1v5, so asymmetrical multiplayer game. So I keep saying six, but it's actually six total players, and there's five Vikings. But like I said, I think three Vikings would be plenty. But what do I know? Somebody else may be out there having fun going, no, Brian, five is the perfect amount of Vikings.
This just reminds me of, like, Dead Till Dawn or what is it? Not Delta Dead Till Dawn. What's the one where you...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the... Oh, Dawn by Deadlight.
Dead by Daylight. There you go. So it's like a bunch of you are survivors and one of you is playing the bad guy. Okay. Similar
idea. That's the idea. And the fun part, of course, just like all those other games usually, like the same... I had the same complaint about Friday the 13th is, you know, it's 1v... You know, the boss versus the other players, and it's always fun to play as the boss, and everything else seems to suck to me. But I did like playing as the boss, and it was a lot of fun, and I have revisited many times this week, and the devs are pretty good about jumping on and playing. There's like a Monday meetup just like last week, I believe, and so they're really invested into the game, so I hope good things happen.
Very nice. That, again, is Boss Guard. I saw it all over Steam or somewhere. Looks like it's a big hot new piece of business, everybody. So check it out. Boss Guard. Sounds like food or something, doesn't it? I'll have some Boss Guard.
Yes, Boss Guard. By the way, it's not like Boss Guard, like G-A-U-R-D. It's Boss Guard, G-A-R-D for that guard.
Yeah.
Guard.
Boss Guard.
Guard.
It's kind of cool, I guess. all right. Hey, check this out.
It's a me, Mario.
Time for us to play Guess My Game, where Brian and I have some old game, sometimes new-ish, but doesn't have to always be old.
Yeah, it's usually attached to nostalgia, though, right? Usually.
Usually.
Because guess my audio is a lot more fun when it's the audio that's repeated over and over again versus the depth of games we have now.
Yeah, that should be people talking. May as well be a TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's often retro stuff. I'm going to play mine first, see if you can guess it. Brian has no idea what this is going in, so here you go. What is it?
I know this one.
Do you already know?
No, but I know it. I played it. Oh my gosh.
Don't look at the chat. No cheating.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, wait. There's some coming that's going to give it away. Here you go.
Oh, there you go. Body blow. Punch out, man. Is it Mike Tyson Punch Out, or is it just...
It is Mike Tyson's Punch Out, the arcade edition. Well, no, wait. It was the home one that was Mike Tyson's, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mine's so the... Punch Out. I guess it's just plain old Punch Out in the arcade. Mm. I forget. They had so many versions of it now.
I think they re-released it back to the arcade as well, didn't they?
When that Mike Tyson license went away, they quit putting them in them. Like, even the the NES Classic, and I don't think Mike Tyson's in that thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's just Glass Joe and everybody who came out.
I love Glass Joe.
Glass Joe's great.
I always loved it. I love the originals or the older ones where your character was a wireframe. Yeah. I kind of got disappointed when in the later stuff they started, you know, fully rendering your characters.
Chat room says they're making a remake of Punch Out. I thought they just did one for the Wii U.
I did
U.
too, but I guess it was kind of years ago, wasn't it? Because it's for the Wii.
Yeah, well, it was Wii U. Punch Out, Wii. I think it was Wii.
Punch Out, Wii. Oh, Wii, you're
right.
Punch Out.
You're right. It was Punch Out. for the Wii. You're totally right. So it's time, I guess.
Yeah, it's been years, man.
That was a cool remake, though. It was actually really good.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
It was a hell of a thing. Glass Joe's in that as well. I love all their dumb characters. And you could fight Donkey Kong in that thing, I think.
Oh, could you?
Yeah, pretty sure he was one of the, not bosses, but, you know, somebody to fight later. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. Let's see if you can guess, or if I can guess. Here you go.
I'm going to guess my own game. Here it goes.
You probably know exactly what it is. All right, here we go. Ooh, it's very quiet. Why is it so quiet?
Is that as loud as it goes?
I don't know. Let me see what's...
It possibly as loud as it goes.
Hold on, there's something wrong with the file or something. That's really familiar, though. I think I'm going to get it. All right, let me try that again. Oh, it's just really... Your file's just really quiet.
Why is it so quiet? That's weird. It was really loud on this side.
Oh.
Don't look in the chat room. They're already getting it.
Banjo-Tooie?
There you go. Banjo-Tooie. Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah. Oh, Kazooie.
Kazooie.
Because later they had the Banjo-Tooie game or whatever it was called.
Right.
Banjo-Tooie? Hold on. Yeah.
Yes, Tooie. T-O-O-I-E.
Yeah, right. That was like the sequel. Other. Yeah, this was developed by Rare, an old N64 title.
Right.
And I remember it, and I remember him talking like that, except that was really quiet, and I don't know why, but anyway.
I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah, that was really weird. Anyway, look at us getting both these right. Aren't we smart?
Look at that. I'm telling you, it was a good week.
Yeah, not a bad week at all, everybody. Well done. I guess just me and you, well done. Nobody else did it.
No, they did in chat room, too. They did
Well. Did they? Well, then I'll give it to them, too.
Yeah, nice they guessed it in chat room, too.
Nice job, guys. All right, time for us to read your feelings, your comments.
Emails.
Your emails.
Your feelings.
We're going to read your feelings. Your feelings via email. How about that? Boopshow@gmail.com. Boopshow@gmail.com. Our first one came to us. The name is Mink, like a mink coat. You ever been around mink?
It's not Boop Mink.
No.
It's Mink. Okay.
Have you ever been around a mink farm? Is that ever a thing you've done?
No, I don't. I've never done that.
We have some mink farms just south of me, and they're horrific. You've never smelled a worse thing to drive past than a freaking mink farm. It's so bad. They poo.
We poop in our own fur.
It's really bad. Anyway, I just snorted. I don't know why. I think I'm tired from Vegas. Says this, Scott, I agree that pre-ordering is a bad precedent for a number of reasons, but saving account interest, really? If you pre-order a month in advance, you're losing a month of interest to the cost of, say, $100. The best rate I've seen recently for a month-long investment is 0.3% or 3.6% annual. That's 30 cents that's 30 cents per $100. So if you're spending $300 on a pre-ordered game, you lose almost a whole dollar in pre-order tax. I hope you forgive me for not losing sleep over that. Boop, Mink. Let me just say this. I understand what you're saying. This is a volume issue. When, let's say, I don't know what game it would be. Let's say EA has everybody pre-order Anthem in the volume of 20 million people. 20 million people spending $59 each. That is a substantial amount of interest they earn just because you pre-ordered it.
That bothers you.
Yeah, I'm not talking about just one person. Yeah, big deal, 30 cents, who cares? I'm talking about the massive numbers of pre-orders. It's a numbers game. There's a reason why they do it. This is why they do it. Like, what other reason are they doing pre-orders? This is it. This is the reason, Mink.
But does that annoy you that they collect that?
Yes, it does annoy me. That's why I don't do it. That's why I won't do pre-orders.
Really?
Yeah. It annoys the hell out of me. Well, my money will be my money until I say it isn't my money. Why do I want them earning money on my money?
I have the same philosophy about paying my taxes, like my income taxes. I'm like, I'm not giving you one more dollar than I have to, because, you know, a lot of people just use it as a savings account and they wait and get their taxes back and they have a windfall. I'm like, no, not holding on to my money for the whole year. But when it comes pre-order, I'm like, shouldn't we be pleased that our game makers
no.
are making a little money?
No.
And that we're showing our trust
no.
a little bit?
No. No, you should buy it the day before or the night before. Download it the day it comes out. Like, don't give them, unless you have some direct benefit. And there are benefits. Sometimes it's like, oh, pre-order the Mortal Kombat thing and you get Shao Kahn. Truth is, you could do that date, could do it the day before and still get the benefit. But if one says, order it 30 days in advance and you'll get a bunch of in-game credits or currency. Okay, if that's a value to you, then you should do that. I'm not saying those people are wrong. I'm saying just the good old-fashioned pre-order it for no reason. Like, what are you doing it for? That's $60 out of your bank account sitting in somebody else's.
Right.
I don't care if it's 30 cents or 35 cents or $100 they're making off you. It's your money. Why do we want to have them sitting on your money? You don't even have the game yet. You have nothing. Well,
it's actually, you do have something. You ever seen the meme, shut up and take my money?
Yeah, I hate it.
And there's a reason why that meme exists, because it gives us like this almost instant gratification that we've purchased the game, even though we haven't purchased it yet. So this email actually was talking about
Scott's No, game. I disagree, because that meme works for anything where you walk into a restaurant and you're like, I don't know what I want. And they say, oh, guess what? We've got like a peanut butter burger. And you go, shut up and take my money. And you get the burger right then.
Right, I know, but you're so excited, and you need that energy to go somewhere, and I think supporting game developers is not a bad way to, you know, it's not like you said. Okay, so if you look at it from an individual standpoint of paying it, it's not a very big load for an individual, but you're right, the game companies make a lot of money that way,
yeah,
a little extra money, but don't you think, you think they factor that in?
I don't know if they do or don't. I'm saying that if their game's worth 60, I'll make that determination and I'll pay $60 for it when it's time. I'm not going to give them it to her early. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You don't walk into a McDonald's and go, okay, I want a Big Mac next Friday.
Like, if Burger King told me that I could order their new Impossible Whopper that they got, that whole burger thing,
yeah,
I would totally pre-order that.
Why though? What's the advantage?
Because it would give me satisfaction now. It's stupid. It is a so stupid thing. But it does feel good.
I don't think it feels good. I think it makes you feel bad. And that's my point. I think you're right that people do feel good. I have learned that it makes you ultimately feel bad. And so I'm going to say don't do it unless, like someone in the chat says, you heard it here first. Scott's not going to pre-order the next WoW expansion. No, I probably will. Why? Because it comes with extra stuff I can't get if I don't pre-order it.
Right.
That's the point of pre-orders that I will support. If you're going to get stuff you wouldn't get any other way and you value that stuff, do it. If they don't give you anything and it's just straight up, pre-order this game now, and there's no reason.
You're mad about the disingenuous offer from the company, it sounds like. That's the part that irritates you, because I don't think, you know, a very small amount of percentage. I get excited occasionally. There are occasions where I get so excited about a game, even if there's no benefit, other than I know that Amazon usually is where I pre-order from, because they have a pre-order guarantee. So if at any point in time the price drops on the game, I will be given the lowest price during that run. So all the way up until the pre-order, I will get the potential of getting the lowest price.
Yeah, because they are suckered you into a thing that's not really there.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, it's a 30 cent conceit, or even a dollar conceit, to get my fix for feeling like I've done something that supports something that I want in the future. So I'm not gonna be mad at anybody for feeling it.
But look, I'm not saying anyone should or shouldn't. I'm just telling you why I wouldn't do
you're
it.
Right.
People can do whatever they want. Cadaveri in the chat room is asking, how is pre-ordering different than Kickstarter? I just explained it. Kickstarter gives you a ton of benefits you wouldn't get if you just bought the thing. So somebody says, if you buy, you order it now, A, you get $10 off of what it'll be when we go retail with it. B, you're going to get a t-shirt. C, you're going to get a bunch of artwork. Three, you're going to get all, you know, you have all these benefits of tiers and Kickstarters that you don't get if they just said, here, no one on Kickstarter saying, hey, buy a thing 30 days in advance or 6 months in advance with no benefits. Nobody does that. So it is different than a Kickstarter.
You know, I think we've kind of become jaded as game purchasers. And it used to be that I think we rooted for some of these companies, and we still do, I think. But I think there's a little bit of bitterness there, too, isn't there?
And by the way, I'm not, like in Cadaveri's case, I'm not reaming on you. I'm just talking about the question.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
I don't. It's a fine question to ask.
This is a great debate.
It is. Free Hotel Room says, if EA makes more money one way, they don't have to make money other ways. If they need to raise more money, they will raise the price of their games. Raising the price of a game costs Scott Johnson more money. Untrue. They aren't going to change their price of the game because the industry will only allow so many increases. The players aren't going to pay $75 and then $80, then $90. If you go look at historical levels of video games fight against inflation for whatever reason. I'm sure there's all kinds of psychological reasons. Games have been, somewhere in the range of 39 to 59 forever.
Right.
They don't rise with the cost of other things. Film. If you want to go see a movie, you're paying way more now than you were 15 years ago. If you want to go do a million other kinds of things that are entertainment focused.
But are you really paying more for movies now financially? When you compare inflation?
Yeah, hell yeah. They've all gone up. Dude, I have to pay.
I mean, it definitely feels like it, because when I go pay $7, for the matinee showing in 2D, I definitely go, I remember when I was 6 and I could get in for a quarter. But I'm not that old.
Yeah.
But still, yeah. But is it real?
No, I think it is. Of course it's real, because I'm paying, I don't know what it is now, 12 or something now. I paid $8.50 right. a few years ago. I paid $6 a few years before that. Like, it goes up.
Okay, so I just as a thought experiment, I haven't looked at any of the numbers, but I do happen to know that the highest grossing film adjusted for inflation is Gone with the Wind. And so I'm like, are we saying that more people went and saw that movie because our population wasn't as big in the U.S. during that time? Did more people go see that movie Endgame or anything else?
No, that's not right anymore, is it? Let's see. All-time box office adjusted
now,
for...
That's just domestic. That's not worldwide. No, worldwide changes everything.
No, you're right. We're talking just domestic. No, you're still right. Gone with the Wind still, if you adjust the gross, $1.8 billion... unadjusted was only 200 million.
Right.
Star Wars at number 2, 1.6 million. Sound of Music, 1.2. E.T.'s up there. Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah, more people went. But if you have more people going, I don't know. There's other factors. My point is the prices still go up. So look at the difference there. 1.8 million as opposed to 200 million.
Right.
That was 1939. I mean, that was a long time ago, but let's look at Star Wars. 1997, $460 million was the domestic take. $1.6 billion now. That tells you the difference in a relatively not that, 30 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, movie tickets go up. Video games, though, they don't go up.
No, they've been pretty solid. I mean, they go up they go up pretty slow. Pretty slow.
Let's see. Do video game prices go up? I don't want to talk out of my lane here, but let's see.
It feels like it, that's for sure.
Video games may soon cost more. There's always talk about how they're finally going to go up.
Of course it's going to cost more. Everything costs more.
This is why those publishers and those developers work on other ways to do post-game revenue to extend the life of the games. Revenue potential. Right. So they put loot boxes in them, or they put microtransactions in them, or whatever. That is what this is. That is to answer this very issue.
Right. Imagine the time investment difference between a AAA title now and Atari's E.T. And then adjust the sales and inflation and compare that to the amount of work that was invested in that game comparatively. I bet it would blow your mind.
Well, I mean, that game was just one dude, though. They heard that.
Right. Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And on a cart. It's like, goodbye, cart.
Yeah. Goodbye, cart.
Need some updates. Ain't going to happen.
Goodbye, cart. Hope we never see you again, unless it's Nintendo. And then I guess we're okay with it still on Nintendo consoles. We got one more email.
That was a fun topic.
That was a good one. We got one here from Justin. It says, Scott and Brian, with the Epic Store entering the fray for PC game sales, do you see the future where Epic Store is Google Chrome and Steam becomes Internet Explorer, or do you think we will see everything just using both or multiple stores. Your friend from Arkansas, Justin. Well, right now, you already see this. Like, yeah, it is a preference thing, but I also use multiple browsers now for different things, for different purposes. So I use the Brave browser for most everything I do now, but I'll occasionally pull up Safari for certain things. I'll use Chrome for other stuff, and I'll use Firefox occasionally for other stuff. And there's certainly more choices even beyond that. So I think that the game stores will be similar to that, and I think you will be hard-pressed, despite all that's going on, to have Steam lose its current leadership status. I think that's it's just so ingrained, that's going to be a tough one, even for Epic. But right, it's right. possible. Because
Fortnite will eventually fade, and if Epic doesn't find the next big things, that momentum is going to start slowing.
Yeah,
quickly,
it's going
right?
to slow, and then you're just sort of left with whatever. I don't mind. I look at these storefronts as like web pages. I don't mind having multiple pages. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. But as long as they're fair-minded and I get what I pay for and I can get them quickly and easily, like basic feature sets, that's really all I care about. But You could make the argument that if Epic really succeeds, they could be the Chrome of the future, while Steam is the Internet Explorer of its time, which had a huge lead and now has no lead of any sort. And Chrome is the clear leader. So it's entirely possible that they flip like that, but not probable, in my opinion.
Right. I think happening. Steam is losing no steam anytime soon. The chat room, Katavari, is mentioning she would they would like to hear us talk a little bit about the City of Heroes stuff that's happened in the last 2 weeks. Have you been keeping up with the private server that was revealed for City of Heroes?
Not entirely. I mean, I don't, there are a lot of people that want to make this a giant deal. I
right.
don't care about it that much. I mean, I played City of Heroes and I enjoyed it. It was a cool game. And the people who ran it and closed it.
It's a weird take because people are mad at a community that was essentially hiding a server and just for a game that really, I mean, a lot of people still loved. City of Heroes, people still loved it. When the server shut down, people wanted to revisit it. And, you know, it's just not happening as far as that being released.
Yeah, but
public,
private servers for old dead MMOs or even current MMOs, like WoW has classic servers to contend with. It's the same kind of thing across the board. People want their thing that they want, and so because someone won't give it to them, they're going to find the hackery backdoor way to do it.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with that, and I also don't have a problem with the companies who own the IPs shutting them down, because at the end of the day, they own it. And at the end of the day, the players are going to do what they want to do. So I don't really have an opinion. I don't actually kind of care.
You have to protect your IP. Yeah, I know it sucks.
They would too if this was their IP. Yeah. These players that are all pro, let's have our big open server. They would be pissed too if they own the IP. Yeah. So I don't buy these arguments that it's draconian and the corporate this and that. It's just what you do. You protect what is yours, and if you don't,
because
it's gone.
Don't know when there may be an opportunity to reboot that franchise. You may have new leadership come in, and you may be able to do. But if you've already said go ahead, do what you want, then you have no recourse, right?
If they get legit permission, that's cool. If the company responds the way Blizzard did and says, look, we'll go ahead and make WoW Classic, so now you got your classic servers, your vanilla servers. Like, there's ways to respond to this that can, you know, address that part of the player base that really wants this. And I don't have a problem with them having this desire, this want, and even them going around, you know, I think game preservation is important, and I think sometimes companies forget that, and so players will find a way to preserve these games, whether you want them to or not, and I kind of like that's true. But I'm not that worked up. Everybody wanted me to be like on a soapbox going, this is an outrage. The players who want to play should be allowed. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if there were no games to play, I'd be like, yeah, let us play our game. But
even
I love City of Heroes. I love City of Heroes. I would love to get an invite to the private server and play. It would make me, it would love it so much.
See, I don't even
now,
want that. You can have that. I don't want that. You can have whatever
but people,
invite we get.
People have been trying to make a controversy out of this. And I'm with you. It's like, if I had a private server, I probably wouldn't tell anybody. And I probably would be very much, you know, very selective who I let in, because see, it's a dangerous proposition to getting shut down. And, you know, there's a lot of time and resources put into that kind of thing. And some people are trying to make it a controversy going, oh, well, they got, you know, they got user information. And it's like, but from everything we've seen, they don't. They don't have anything other than just, you know, like character data.
Yeah, what information? That I tried to make a Hulk-looking guy back in 2003 and called him Hunk or whatever I did? Who cares? Who cares?
The Incredible Hulk!
It's just not that big a deal to me. And I'm, and again, this isn't me saying it shouldn't be to you people, whoever's into it. You should be into it. Go for it. But don't try to get me to like, I feel like I spent like 2 weeks with people crawling on me going, did you hear about this? What are you going to do about it? I'm like, I'm not going to do shit about it. I got a lot of other stuff to focus on. I'm not going to,
I get the passion though, because it was a fun game and I was very invested at the time. I totally get the passion.
It's a cool game. I love the game. Yeah. I loved it at the time.
It's hard to get momentum and passion going for your own particular thing on social media because there's so many people so passionate about so many things.
I was bummed out that it got canceled in the first place. So
I was too.
I wasn't
playing it.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I mean, I was kind of done then too. Yeah. Like I wasn't even actually playing it all that much, but I was sort of like, I'm all right.
Right. Oh, that makes me sad. Beep. A chapter has closed.
It has closed, like a big fat door, like a gaping door. That's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Hey, a quick reminder or a announcement, I guess. There's a Discord now, and it's just for this show. I shouldn't say that. It's for this and Core. They're going to share it because it's all game related. So why not have like, you know, a big Frog Pants gaming Discord? Which is really what it's going to be. We're going to start out small. We don't have a ton of rooms in there yet. It's just a place for people to come out and meet. But you will find a link to it at frogpants.com/BOOP. If I haven't put it in there, I will right now. So some of you live guys may not see it yet. But it will go in before the show gets posted today. Again, that's at frogpants.com/BOOP. Just look for the Discord link and it will be a permanent link. You can just join and hang out and be in there. Tell us your stories. Talk about the games you're playing. Ask questions for the show. All that kind of stuff. So that's coming up soon over there at frogpants.com/BOOP. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you surely can. 801-471-0462. You can also, what else? Oh, leave us voicemail, or emails. You know, emails. Those are a thing.
Yeah, those are fun today.
Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. And on Twitter, we are at boopshow. We also have a Reddit, boopshow.reddit.com. All right, Brian. Is there any final words of wisdom that you can give our listeners?
Yeah, don't look for my City of Heroes server stop.
No, you're not gonna find it. It's not gonna work out.
You're gonna spot me, man. Stop it.
Yeah, quit creeping them out, you guys. That's gonna do it for us. Thanks for listening. Come back next time. Should be next week. We'll have a brand new show. Until then, bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.
Mm.